Today on the show, we are diving into the blockchain with a company that does exactly that, Dune Analytics. When founder and CEO Frederick Haga started Dune in mid-2018, at the beginning of a long crypto winter, it was virtually impossible to raise money for a crypto startup, which really forced him back to basics, things like create something people want, and traction really matters. And now that crypto has very much swung back into favor, he has most recently raised a round from Coatue at a $1 billion valuation. I think the single most important idea from this conversation is that because crypto is all open source and publicly available, crypto companies have live financial statements. If you're interested in investing in a crypto company, you can see how many people have transacted in the last 5 minutes on that protocol. And that is something that even public companies, which give financial reports quarterly, do not do. And it creates a fundamentally different environment in crypto that I think is really interesting and allows for some really fascinating trends that we dive into with Frederick. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Frederick at Dune Analytics. All right, well, Frederick, it is great to have you on the show. For our audience who hasn't used Dune, what is Dune Analytics and what are you building here?
What we do at Dune is enable anyone to analyze blockchain data and understand activity in smart contracts and things being built on this blockchain. And if you zoom out, essentially, blockchain is a public backend computer that anyone can put code to and people can use that code. And that generates data. But a blockchain is only made for verifying transactions. And so a blockchain node will be optimized for verifying transactions. But when there are millions of blocks and transactions happening, it's not optimized for figuring out what happened half a year ago or look at that over time. So it's a non-trivial problem to actually get that data for sort of other use cases than just verifying the most recent transactions. So that's kind of where Dune comes in, where we take all of that data, do the hard work of taking it out and making it sort of human readable and easy to work with. And then anyone can go to our website, see all that data, write SQL queries on top of it, so fetch data in arbitrary ways, get results, visualize that in charts and dashboards, and then share it with the world. So I think this very exciting aspect to it that is like it's community first, and we think of it as like by and for the community. So anyone can access it. We have 125,000 pieces of analysis on Dune right now. Anyone in the world can go and look at that. You can see all the way down how these analyses are built. And if you want to change something, make your own version, improve it, like you can just fork the SQL and you can create your own version. So it is this sort of living, breathing community and a tool where anyone can go as deep as and wide as they want into what's happening on the blockchain.
Yeah, community data visualizations. How does Dune as a business make money? And what's the long-term play as far as B2B, B2C? Where is Dune going? And Dune, it feels like, underpins a lot of the best analysis and the best investors, even the best companies in the ecosystem. Is that also the business model?
So far, we haven't been that focused on monetization, but I think you can kind of think of us as GitHub in that sense, where it's free and open at the core and in like a community type of product. But if you want to use it for professional use cases and maybe have some more hardcore features, then you can pay for that. And so the way we think about it is essentially that if you build in the open and create things that others can see and utilize, then Dune is free and very powerful and open for you. If you want to keep things private, put data in other private places and these type of things, that's when you pay us. So we think that aligns well with the sort of community mindset. And then if you don't want to like sort of contribute to the community with what you do, that is completely fine. But then we will charge you a bit for it.
That feels very crypto. There's a tax if you aren't willing to share what you build with the community.
Yeah. And I think this is very You know, one of the cool things about Dune is that we thought really hard about this in the early days, like what kind of product can you build in a environment where the data is open? And I think what we did very right in the way back in like early 2019, late 2018, when we started Dune, was that we figured out like actually what we should do here is build something open and not like just paywall some dashboards and sell them to banks or, you know, one of like obvious ways to do data in the way that it has been done before, but actually from first principles, think what does this world look like and how can you make something that uniquely enabled by this open data? And then that becomes more powerful and a whole different thing than any other previous data company.
Yeah, that is a unique challenge in crypto that I think people often overlook, is that everything is open source. And open source businesses are fundamentally different than non-open source businesses. Most of the value for marketplaces created in the last 10, 20 years has been from keeping that data siloed, from ratcheting up fees, having the market power to not allow other people to come in. And today, I mean, you see things like Uniswap, SushiSwap. That is really interesting. Can you expand on that, the actual idea of how to build a strong product in a completely open space?
One thing I actually believe is that crypto companies and projects should maybe take a bit more from sort of Web2 successes in terms of, for instance, for us, just like build something useful. Like that is something we think a lot about. Just like how fast can we build something incredibly useful? And that is like just totally startup 101. And I think some people in the crypto space kind of forget that. So like that still matters. And I think that's what we did for a long time. And it's been like true different hype cycles and everything. And it's like, it doesn't go out of fashion to just build something useful. So that's something we care a lot about. And then of course, I think it is certainly different. This world where everything is so open, there are communities and it's very fluid. Like who's, you know, if you do like B2B, like you've, relate to the corporate folks on the other end, which is like a very defined set of people. But if you build something for a community, you know, there's a lot of folks all around and they're in and out of communities and sort of it's a very different dynamic. And the lingo is different. There's memes and it's all like way more fun and vibrant if you ask me. But it's like certainly challenging in a way because it's like maybe less tangible than a traditional B2B world. So I think you need to embrace that and really, we think of working for the people working in this space and betting on this space. And it is very different from what sort of we have also requests from big companies, established companies that want to use our data, but we're not that interested in it because we want to build for the people that want to have their things public and want to like, you know, serve a community. I think that is just so much bigger. And if you think about it, historically, all data has been B2B and kind of siloed. And like, except like, you know, public quarterly reports and stuff like that, like data is inside an organization and that's it. That's how the world works. And every data tool is built for someone sitting inside an organization or a team or something like that. And that is just completely different in the world we're in. We're like, everything is public. You can see real time the traction of the products of a category of competitors. You can track 20 something decentralized exchanges on Dune and you can block by block see their volume and how it stacks up against each other, right? So it is just brutally transparent for the people building these products, but it also means that you can add value to so many more people. And maybe there's someone considering building a new decentralized exchange and they can monitor and see all the things that these folks do with open source smart contracts and see the traction data and then go and decide what they want to do. And I think it makes for a way faster, more powerful evolutionary process for this space versus traditionally where it's like, maybe we'll do all the same mistakes some other startup did half a year ago because who knows what actually worked or didn't work for them. But now you can actually, with something like Dune, you can actually just like look into all of it directly, which is insane. And it certainly requires a different way of thinking about your product and who you serve and how you serve them.
Yeah, I mean, that is a wild aspect of all transactions on the blockchain being public, is that, yeah, you can go look at user transactions and user data and, you know, monthly active users on Ethereum or Solana or Uniswap or any very specific company built on top of those that integrates into them. Any NFT project, whereas in the Web2 world, like, you can see that a company failed, but say, this is how we're going to do it different, not be like, oh, here was what their user curves look like. Here's the cohort analysis. You literally have all of the data that for every company that Web2 companies, usually only their VCs have, if that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this, you know, both from a product building perspective, but also like from a financial system perspective, it's kind of ironic how some non-believers who haven't really actually taken the time to understand how this thing works sort of criticize crypto for being opaque and all that, when, you know, you can actually look at MakerDAO, which is essentially a bank, and you can see the balance sheet, and you can see their revenues, and you can see their risks, and you can see it real time. And it is a financial statement, but it is feeding live off the back end of the system. And it's a SQL that you can fork and inspect and, you know, remix and do whatever you want with. And that is absolutely amazingly powerful, right? And it means that as investors, as understanders of like what risk goes into the system, you can actually just inspect it yourself, and you don't have to wonder what might sort of come out of a report in 3 months.
Yeah, and it's not just a public financial statement, it's a public financial statement in real time. So you're getting every single transaction is uploaded as it comes in.
Exactly. And you can see all the analysis that people did previously, right? Where if you go on Dune, and you can start from all the things that everyone ever did before, as opposed to starting from scratch. And I think if you think about, you know, what happens when a quarterly report is dropped, and like what happens on Wall Street then? Well, there's a bunch of suits like in buildings next to each other doing the same analysis on the same data and kind of just like, you know, working in parallel in silos, right? But actually in crypto, you take this community first approach and you just like pile on and compound and say, oh, I'm not going to do this from, I can like take it a step further instead of doing the groundwork, right? Since it's all out there anyway. And I think that also is going to, I think these are like kind of second order effects of the way crypto is built and still kind of underutilized and underappreciated as how it will help this space succeed versus a world of siloed just analysts, for instance, that sit and do everything closed and proprietary, when you can actually just compound it and everything becomes more powerful and forceful.
Yeah, it's like a hive mind that's building, just continually iterating on data analysis. And if you are paying attention to the right things, you can see what people are iterating on them and how, which is pretty wild. You said you think these are second order effects that are just starting to be realized, but there's a lot of potential here. What do you think that potential holds for Dune and for this whole space of data visualization on this public blockchain?
I think I touched upon it, that the fact that you have a truly open real-time data set that is like easy to work with, but also you can work together with anyone that ever sort of already looked into it. I think that is sort of, that makes Dune and the space extremely powerful. And I think it means that like what we can do here is way bigger than any data product or business that ever existed before. And I think also what we're starting to see, which is also extremely exciting, is a lot of people getting paid for their work on Dune in various ways, in grants, by getting hired and like starting like businesses of building dashboards and so forth. And a lot of them are also non-developers, which I think is incredibly exciting. So previously, you know, in one way I mentioned like Dune looks a little like GitHub. And previously, like you could get a job off your GitHub profile if you're a developer. And now that same thing is happening with a Dune profile for non-developers. And like you can just have a business background and SQL is relatively trivial to learn. Sort of anyone sort of a bit smart and dedicated could probably get on top of it in a week, and you can fork other people's queries and so forth and start from there. So you have this dynamic where a whole new generation of analysts have free and open access to the most powerful data set of this new financial system. And they can like learn new skills and unearth this data in so many powerful ways. And no one is asking you for, you know, you don't need access. You don't need to be hired by anyone to do this. You can just show up and do it. And what we've seen is several people just learning these skills with them for Dune and then getting a job in the space solely off their Dune profile in the same way that happened to developers. But what's exciting is that developers is a relatively limited amount of people. But like when you suddenly take every single business sort of mind in the world and let them be hugely empowered with this data and make it accessible to them, it's tremendous opportunity, I think. So that is something I think is extremely exciting, and seeing more and more people contribute to communities, even though they're non-developers, with this data and end up getting paid and getting jobs with doing this, that is super duper exciting.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Dune is the way I found it. Well, one of the ways I found it is your new round that makes you a unicorn, values you at over $1 billion. Congratulations. But also Twitter. And some of the best Twitter analysis that I see on the NFT space, on crypto in general, on transactions, they all share beautiful visualizations, graphs, that on the bottom, you know, say Dune. They all come from Dune. So everyone, all of those analyst business minds like you're talking about, can go then publish that data so that even people like me who aren't building in the space or building in the space yet can view it and obviously build the brand too.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And certainly, you know, we had this idea several years ago that we will build something community first. And part of the thinking was, of course, that like, you know, this is relatively shareable and open, and that is powerful. But it took us quite a while to realize how powerful it is. And I think it's like when we did our Series A about a year ago, I kind of got a question from an investor around like customer acquisition cost. And I was just thinking about it like, oh yeah, no, actually we don't spend money on marketing or sales, or like it's just like it's all organic. And I hadn't even thought about like how insane that is up until that point. It was like, yeah, no, this is actually not a thing for us because people share dashboards and engage with them and sort of that. So that's a beautiful thing. And I think also, again, with crypto as a whole, you know, having, if you think about finance, how insanely gatekept it is at all levels. Like, you know, if you build a product and you put a login wall in front of it, it's going to dramatically decrease the number of people that will engage with your product. And if you put like a paywall in front of it, it's like even worse, right? And then if you have like KYC and all the million things you have to do to go into creating some account in finance, it is a severely constrained sort of environment in the scope of what it can reach. But with something like Dune and crypto in general, it's all like just free for all, plug and play, open access, right? And I think that is fundamentally just so, so much more powerful than working in a closed environment.
What were the early days of Dune like? What's the origin story for Dune?
Basically, Mats and I, my co-founder and I, we used to work together at a company called Schibsted Media Group, which is a online classifieds, eBay type of site or player in Europe and across the world, pretty big company. We ended up being able to work on this technology. So we were both very excited about crypto in like late 2017. And then over time, it became clear, like when the hype died in like early 2018, it became pretty clear that this technology is just way, way too young for a company like this to do a proper bet on. And so, like, I think for us as true believers in this, it was clear that this was not the place. And for that company as well, it probably wasn't the right thing to spend their time and money on. So then we started thinking about what is really needed in this space. And then we thought, okay, if you are going to build products here, you need to understand if you have users, you need to understand who's coming back, how much engagement do you get in your product, and so forth. And so the initial idea was kind of to build dashboards for that, like a mixed panel or a Google Analytics type of thing for these projects building. But then over time, we realized that actually the more powerful thing is to build something more open and really embrace the openness of the data in this space instead of sort of building something that looks like the what you would have had in the previous world. And it was also because we had a lot of pushback from investors. So it was an absolutely totally different time for fundraising and these things. We had such a hard time. We spent the first 7 months of Dune without a salary. We sort of had a 10K like innovation grant from the Norwegian government. And that was all the money we spent for 7 months. We spent it to like go to hackathons, Ethereum hackathons across the world, and try to pitch this idea and meet people in the space. We're based out of Norway, which had like no potential clients. So it was a really hard time, and we got a lot of pushback, and people didn't believe in this industry, that people will build on these systems. So it was very, very hard, but we kept believing in sort of that people will build on these systems. It does make more sense than what we have today. But also we adjusted course a bit and pivoted into sort of, okay, let's actually embrace the openness of this data as opposed to trying to build something closed, which was also a little bit due to investor pushback. And so I think that, you know, was an interesting experience and certainly shaped us and challenged us to figure out what we really, really think makes sense. And I think that is probably the flip side of today's funding environment, where you can just like pick up a few million dollars out the gate, almost no questions asked, and then you might end up spending like two whatever years just building something that doesn't make sense, and you don't have the discipline to really challenge yourself on your assumptions and what you really want to do. And I think what makes Dune so powerful today is because we had such a hard time in the beginning and had to think so deeply about what we were doing. And then eventually we ended up raising a pre-seed, $250,000 that we lived on for 1.5 years, didn't hire anybody, just me and my co-founder, earned like $40,000 a year, and basically still kept grinding and kept it lean and just, you know, tried to do something useful while the whole space was pretty much non-interesting to most of the investor world.
Why were you so committed to crypto and building in this space when I'm sure, you know, you could have got a job at a lot of other places making a lot more?
To me, it's just so clear that this is a new type of internet, a new infrastructure that is a fundamental piece that's currently missing, that the banking system is simply not built for being built on. And it is so fragmented, and so much of it is from 100 years ago. And, you know, I know people that run fintech companies, and it sounds like a nightmare, honestly. Like, it's so much headwind and red tape and blockers and incumbents that want to screw you over, and so little openness to change in that world. And I think what's so, so exciting about crypto is that, okay, I think like technology is moved like this. You have some kind of infrastructure and it goes for some time, but eventually you move on to a new category because you can't accelerate further from what you have. And I think that is the case, that sort of I'm born in 91 and sort of, you know, internet sort of emerged as I was a teen and whatnot, and sort of didn't really work on that beyond sort of just spending a lot of time on a computer. But what I see now is just that, okay, this thing is going to play out again. And all first principles say that it's just so much more meaningful, I think, the crypto system, if you actually care about, you know, progressing, building new products and services, letting capital flow in the world and not have these huge institutions that gatekeep and do that on behalf of everybody. So, yeah, I don't know. It just simply makes more sense to me being in this world. And I think also it's just intellectually so extremely rewarding to be building something new, because you have to be rigorous with yourself. And I think, like, when I spend a lot of time trying to understand how the current financial system works and, like, what are features and bugs of that system. And I think sort of a lot of crypto people just assume it's all bugs, which is certainly not true. Like, it is there for a reason, a lot of it, and it's, like, well refined and taught through and all that. But it's certainly not all features either, which a lot of people in the, like, traditional financial system still thinks. So I think sort of that, you know, intellectual challenge of understanding, okay, we're building a new system. You need to understand the thing we're replacing. What do we want? What features do we want from that? And what bugs are we fixing? And I think that is just a fantastic journey to be on and explore.
Yeah, another chance to build the internet that doesn't come along very often.
Exactly. Yeah, and then it's all the memes and all the weird stuff and all the fun things you simply don't get anywhere else. Just, I mean, no other industry more or less is born on the internet. Like, crypto is from, like, basically 2009, 2010, right? And there's not that many movements that don't have a physical, you know, starting point in the way. So all of technology past that is, like, Silicon Valley, right? And but, like, crypto and, like, office buildings and whatever sort of culture comes with that. But, like, crypto is just, like, purely born on the internet, and that leaves you with, like, so much fun. It runs on Twitter instead of LinkedIn. It runs on Reddit, and it just gives a lot of fun, and it makes it very vibrant, and I think that is also just truly matters to me. Like, just more fun to hang around people that are both very curious and smart and likes to just be weird and have fun.
Yeah, it started on internet message boards, and we still don't know where those people were when they were writing.
Exactly.
Yeah. With your job at Dune, you look at a lot of analytics. What are some of your favorite dashboards? And maybe what are some of the most surprising things you've found that users have created on Dune that have surprised you about the space?
Part of the beauty of Dune is that I don't like dictate, you know, what's going on there. It is, like, just emerging, all these things, which is very cool to just wake up and see something new that people did. Certainly, you know, as we touched upon earlier, these, like, financial statements have been pretty mind-blowing because they kind of bridge the traditional world and this existing world, and this crypto world, in such a tangible way for people that know the old world but maybe haven't gotten that deep into crypto. So that's been really cool to see. And Maker has an amazing dashboard, and Elias, one of our top users, has a great dashboard for Nexus Mutual, like a insurance product and so forth. So that's certainly been pretty cool to see those worlds sort of bridged. And I think, obviously, like, a lot of NFT projects have built really cool dashboards, and having this sort of resource out there for communities, it's great to see the actual transparency coming through and not having that paywalled or sort of non-accessible. And what else? I think it's still underrated to just look at straight up traction in these products. And, you know, people have all kinds of, like, weird theses and whatnot. Like, if something is on chain, you can just see blatantly how many users do they have, what's their retention, what's their engagement, how much volume do they do. And, you know, there's a lot of these, like, vanity metrics like TVL and stuff like that. That's, like, total value locked. It's like, actually, you probably in most products want capital efficiency. So you don't want as much possible capital as possible. You want the activity on that capital to be as big as possible. And so I think it's sort of one advice, or not financial advice, TM, but one idea that I think is still underrated is just looking at what is this product and who's using it and how much are they using it. And I think probably in these days, you know, you can, when sort of markets are a bit down, and then obviously crypto overreacts in both reactions all the time, or in both directions, both all the time, you can actually just see, okay, which products have usage and sort of are priced fairly, and then you can go look into that. It's not that different from any way you would look into investing in a tech startup. Like, do they have users? If yes, then maybe consider going there, right?
Yeah, I feel like I should name this podcast A Conversation with a Crypto Realist, because a lot of what you're talking about is just the fundamentals, from build something people like and everything down to the fact, like, traction really matters. What I think is really interesting about Dune too is, you know, crypto is going down right now. It's gone up to insane degrees over the last year and a half. But it feels like Dune is in a lot of ways isolated from that, or insulated from that, because you're ultimately dashboards. The people who were using Dune aren't the people who are going to go leave this space because Bitcoin is down. They're the ones who are literally trying to build new DeFi projects on top.
Yeah, for sure. And we keep seeing like growth throughout sort of prices being down, which is very exciting. And I think it's telling with our community. Like, we have over 10,000 people in Discord, and it's such a productive and amazing space where people write queries, help each other out, onboard new people, they ask questions about their queries. And we've even had our users do outright courses where they spend a lot of time just helping others and giving them material and challenges to get started on Dune. And I think that is, again, what we've sort of always been working on, and the same mentality that we had and now sort of is in our community as well. It's just like, you know, let's do something useful, and that holds merits. And if you keep doing that, it sort of value will probably come over time, but it is work, and like, you need to have genuine effort. If you just want to get rich overnight, then it will go away overnight as well. Yeah, I think, you know, all the things we're doing make just as much sense when things are down, and we're going to keep building and doing our thing as we've done for 3.5 years now. So I'm not that concerned about prices at all.
Beyond Dune, what are the technologies or projects in the space that you're most excited about?
I'm certainly excited about NFTs. I think they as so much in crypto, they've been a bit too hyped probably over the last few months. But I think it's a massive thing. And if you think about it again, like going to first principles, what is art? Well, most of art is essentially like scarcity, some kind of authentication, and then like the actual experience of the art. And it turns out a lot of the value in art is the first two of them. And that you obviously get with NFT, and then you can debate how great of an experience some of these JPEGs are. But at the end of the day, you know, it makes sense. And I think the fact that an artist can just mint a piece of work from their computer and get a global market for their art is with no middlemen is fantastic. And like a huge, huge thing for art and the creative space. And if you think about the kind of cultural capital in arts and music versus the financial value of it right now, that gap is massive, right? Because it's such a small subset of the whole impact it all has. And I think crypto can really help grow the size of the financial part of this for the creators.
One thing I will say about the NFT space is, whatever you think of NFTs, the art is pretty incredible. Just how many different artists there are coming out and talking about how much money they've made off of these projects. And it really has tens of thousands of people and millions or billions of dollars focused on literally art and essentially being patrons for these artists, which is pretty cool, even if, you know, the space doesn't go where some people think it might. That alone, I think, makes it worth a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Any creative, innovative process, you know, has some weird stuff to it. It's easy to always point out the noise or the things that seems bad and say that, oh, this whole system is just crap, but actually it's like a key ingredient in building something new and exciting.
Well, Frederick, my last question for everybody on the show is about vision for the company. Where would you like to see Dune Analytics in 10 or even 20 years?
Our mission is to make crypto data accessible. And to me, there's this new financial system. I think it will prevail, grow, and win. And then part of the question will be, you know, the access to the product and services that people have, but also actually understanding what is happening and making financial decisions in that world, and be that building products or be that investing or whatever you might want to do. And what we really, really want to do is ensure that this stuff and stays truly open, and that, you know, we can give people the tooling, the education, the rewards they might need to like actually dissect this and understand this and have that totally accessible, and not let sort of insiders or folks with a lot of money have sort of more access than anyone else that just has an internet connection. And so I think that is really what we're doing. And I think it's an important piece of the puzzle for making sort of a new financial system that is more open and empowers more people on the sort of edge of the world. So yeah, that's what we're doing. We're doing this very community first. And so also thinking a lot about ways to engage communities and reward communities beyond what we've seen previously in Web2. These are really hard problems with decisions that you only get to do once. And then if you do it wrong, you can mess a lot of things up. So we're thinking a lot about just how to build a product that is uniquely enabled by this world with community, with open data, and truly realizing practically the insights and understanding of what's happening in these systems.
Yeah, it's an amazing vision, and this has been fascinating. I've learned a lot, and there are a lot of really interesting concepts to unpack here. So Frederick, thanks so much for coming on the show.